Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Fist raised in the air saying, no, there's nothing there. Within 2 weeks, 2 weeks after that, I'd gone into plant collecting plants in military zones and found live hand grenades and all sorts of things like this, posing as an Israeli, trying to get into these areas, fear of being caught, and came back, had to talk to somebody. When I was talking to them, she said, shall I pray for you? I was so desperate at the time. I said, oh, anything. when she started praying for me, I just suddenly felt peace. I suddenly felt that I had an assurance of suddenly knew God, basically. Suddenly knew I was going up to heaven. And it was just like just that total acceptance I felt.
Well, this was me. It's been a big battle. I worry. I'm the chief worrier. And my husband will tell you that as well. But the Lord has said many times to me, don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? They're the three words that he tells me every time. And I do trust him. I've trusted him through lack of money, worrying about my children, moving down here, my children getting married, and beautiful children they are, and a lovely granddaughter. Most of all, I had a year of cancer, and I had to trust him. And you know, it's been the best year of my life.
Good morning. I also grew up in an environment of nothing is ever going to work for me. There's always something that's going to stop me, and everybody else always succeeds. But for me, everything is impossible. And there's a story in the Old Testament, in the first book of Samuel, about Hannah, who desperately wanted to have a child. And for some reason or other, God didn't let her have one. And then one day she went into the temple and she started praying. And the priest, who wasn't a very nice chap, actually turned around and accused her of being drunk. But she said, no, I'm just desperate for God to hear my cry. And he said, well, God has. But he wanted to just get rid of her. But she chose not to listen to the words as though they were coming from a man. But she chose to listen to the words that God was telling her. And because she chose to believe God, she did have a child. And I have found that's true in my own life, where I thought that I would never, ever get a job when we came down to this part of the world. And then suddenly one day I just had an understanding that God is great. And he has turned the impossible into the possible. And now I have a job.
Wonderful. She's kind of cute. I like this one. Am I right? Thanks for going to take her home with me. Oh, I like that. You're my kind of pastor. Anyway, as I was growing up, I always loved being around children. I'm a teacher as well. But I never thought I would ever have children myself or a wife, because there were a couple of strikes against me in my father had three marriages. My mother had three marriages. So divorce and, you know, broken relationships was just a part of my life. And the second strike was that I happened to be a musician. So a musician by trade. And I thought, well, musicians just don't make good fathers. They don't make good husbands. You just got to live with it, mate. And so I never entertained the possibility of ever having a family, although I would have loved to have one. And then I met a man named God. And he just turned everything completely upside down. Now, the first thing he told me was that Judy is the one that I've chosen for you to marry. I had no intention of marrying anyone. But he said that this is the one that, and I'm going to teach you to love her. Now, God is faithful, because I had a solitary existence. And I thought that that was just the way my life was going to have to be, just because that's what I chose. But then God stepped in and said, you're going to be a father. And now not only do I have two children, wonderful children, I have three grandchildren that we're going to go visit next week. Hallelujah!
That's awesome. Every single one of them is something that every single one of us has. We all have a story. We all have a past and a future. And In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's just five people standing up saying what each and every one of us has in our hearts. Every single one of us has this story, and we can use it, and we can be the hope for people. They can see us and see these stories, and they can change lives. Thank you, guys. We're just going to have a little video.
The fear, the overwhelming fear of thinking that your friend could commit suicide, your friend is going to get sucked into this loophole, was just devastating. The whole town was grieving. You'd talk to someone and everyone was just felt hopeless, like just hopeless, just lost, abandoned. And people can understand why stuff like that had been happening. People had so many questions. And when I came to college and God spoke to me, that scripture, "Sing, O barren woman," I truly felt like that was that's how I felt. I felt like I had nothing left to give. I had nothing left because all my friends had been in such dark places. I was in a dark place. And God was telling me to sing. And I questioned him and I was angry at God. And I didn't want to sing. I did not want to sing. But when God told me that I had to sing to be joyful despite what the circumstances were around me, I thought, what have I got to lose, God? What have I got to lose? So that's what I did. I sang, and it felt really, really silly. It felt so stupid because it just felt like a child, like we have to be free. And I listened to God, and I just listened to what he was telling me to say. And he told me that the town had purpose, the town had a destiny. Bridgend was not meant for grieving, but it was a place meant for joy, for happiness. So that's what I sung. I sung God. I just sung out that it was a place destined for happiness, a place destined for joy, that the mothers who had lost their sons, that had lost their daughters, that they would come to know God, that they would be joyful. Like, how do you get over death of a child? How do you do that? But that's God. That is God's love. Like, he is able he brings forth a wellspring. It says in his word that he brings it from within. And when I started singing that, I think the biggest transformation, the town was transformed for sure, but the biggest transformation was in me, because I realized I'd gone from feeling quite chained by my town, chained by the circumstances. I'd gone from feeling like that to actually being free, to feeling, God, you have a plan, you have a destiny. And I just want to encourage everyone that in your hopeless situations, there is a hope. There is God there. He is not just distant and removed from your situation, no matter what it is. God is there, and he is just waiting for you to, like, step up. He's waiting for you to invite him into that situation. God just is waiting to break forth. He just needs people who are willing to take him at his word, people who are daring enough to read the Bible and to believe it, and to declare his promises over the town, over your situations, over your friends, over your family, over your finances. Like, that is what I've really learned, is that no matter what the situation, no matter how desperate it may seem, no matter how hopeless it may seem, God just wants people willing to stand up in the gap, declare, believe, and walk it through. So yeah, that's what I want to encourage you with.
It's my great privilege and honour to welcome you to Kingdom Faith in Worthing. My name is Jonathan, and I'm the leader here. And we love Jesus here. Amen. Does anybody else love Jesus? And I just want to kind of pull some of these things together that we've heard. Some great stories, right? Powerful. Everyone is real. Everyone is true. Everyone is personal. But everyone in the stories that you've heard, including Becca says 6 altogether. That story could have been very different. Your story could be very different. Their story could have had a beginning and no end. They could have stood up in front of you and still said, I still feel insecure, I still feel rejected. In fact, probably if somebody would have had the rejection on it, they wouldn't have stood there, right? Because they probably would have thinking, these guys are going to hate me. And they're going to throw things. They're going to do whatever. And nobody threw anything, right? Robert, you were amazing. I never threw anything. Did you notice that? That was brilliant. But also, the thing about stories, particularly when you know Jesus, is that when you begin to talk about your story, his story is weaved in it. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is that the Bible calls him the author and also the finisher of stories. And I don't know where the chapter of your life is today. You might be coming out of a bit of a horror chapter. You might be coming out of a bit of a holiday chapter. You might be coming out of a bit of a financial pressure chapter. I have no idea. All I know is that when Jesus rolled the tomb away, or the angels rolled the tomb away, it opened up a whole new chapter, and that chapter was called Hope is Alive. There's a whole new chapter opened up, and it's called I Have Risen. There's a whole new chapter that comes up and says, I look straight at your past and I say, there's an alternative, and it's called a future with me. I just know that there's a new chapter that's coming into this book of our life, this page, if you like, that says, if you see yourself where I was Friday, I will see you with me on Sunday. There's a page today that says, if you see that you were crucified with me, everything that was rejecting, everything that was making you insecure, everything that was trying to beat you up and whip you within an inch of your life, everything I've taken for you. But that happened Friday. Today, Sunday. And today, there's an offer of life. Life beyond our dreams, beyond our imaginations, life that can change a city like Bridgend or a whole nation like Wales. But it has to start with the pages of my life. Jesus said some things like this. I have come into the pages, into the chapter, into the annals of our time and space, not to steal anything, not to rob you of anything, not to destroy anything of you, but to give you life. Jesus went on to say something else like this, which was, when you know me, hello, how are you? When you know me, all things are possible. How many of you want this chapter in your life not to read, I woulda, shoulda, coulda done something? How many of you want this chapter which says, all things are possible because I'm going to believe in Jesus? Amen. Because we can decide whether we turn the chapter over or not. It can either be, I woulda, shoulda, coulda, if only. Or it could be, no, I put my faith, my trust in Jesus, and today my life starts afresh. How many of you want to have a page like that? Because that's where we're at today. We're going to break bread in a moment. Communion, if you want to call it that. I like to call it breaking bread because it reminds me that Jesus came as the greatest storyteller in the world. And when Jesus was put in the tomb, there's a whole story around him. Was he this? Was he that? When they turned up on the third morning and he was empty, it was like, was he stolen? Was he robbed? Even bribes were put in there. Don't sit here thinking that someone's made up a story about Jesus. Don't sit there thinking that it never happened. It's just the media. Don't sit there thinking, how can a man that was crucified so badly, died so horribly, how can it be that he's alive? Because that was God's plan. That was God's book for Jesus' life. So that I can enter in and you can enter into that chapter of time and space. But I like to say he broke bread because it reminds me that he gave himself. He went into the tomb for me and for you, and he came out so that I could come out with him. I think that's cool. So what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to break some bread. But I just want to share just one thought with you. Is that all right? Hello, mate. Carl, you had enough?
Sorry, my leg was just woken up.
Your what's just woken up? Your leg? Oh, okay. Malachi, that's a good name. So if you are here for the first time, and I see some of you, it's great to come today. We appreciate it. We love it. We thank you so much for being here today. But I just want to encourage you that today your life is going to change. Thanks for that. My life is changing. It's even changing now. I can feel it. It says this in Galatians 4, 4 to 7. You can try and find it if you like, Andrea, if you want to. When the time had fully come, so there's a time, and today's a good time. God sent his own son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. However we were born, whether it was in tremendous wealth or tremendous poverty, whether it was with benefits, whether it wasn't, Jesus was born so that we could be born again. Jesus was born so that we could be free from whatever has held us in our past or held us even in our today, that we might receive adoption. For me, this is a key. The whole reason why there's Easter, in my view, is so that you and I could become sons. And the very first testimony here from my friend Jamal, who doesn't look like me, sound like me, he doesn't walk or talk or squeak like me, but he's still my brother because we are sons of the same father. He has a different background, a different culture. He can speak in goodness knows what kinds of languages. He makes great breakfast. Woohoo! Jesus makes great breakfasts. John 21, 12, come let us eat. And he's great at breakfast. Robert, I've just got to know Robert, but he's a brother. I know we're both tall, dark and handsome, but just... Don't you laugh. Let them laugh. What I'm saying is this, is Easter is not about chocolate bunnies and rabbits and eggs. It's about the story that Jesus had to come and live out so that I could become a son of God. Not just a son of someone, but a son of God. And that's why I love it. So I'm no longer a slave. All those things that try and whip me, beat me up, kill me, steal, I don't have to live under those anymore. Because there's an exchange that took place. And we saw that displayed through these cardboard testimonies. They weren't cardboard as in a sense that they were dull and shapeless. They were really good. But the words on them were so extreme. It says, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. What does that mean? Without going into all of the details, it means that every single thing that Jesus died to take away has gone. But equally, every single thing that Jesus came alive into is now also mine. Which means I went to the grave. I gave my life to Jesus with far less, but I've come back to life with far more. I'm an heir. I don't know where you stand. You might just be in the garden saying, where's this Jesus gone? You might be saying, well, I'll just come and check out Easter this year. I have no idea where you are on your story. You might be just thinking, well, yeah, I've known of Jesus. Maybe he's still the gardener to you. He looks after you and cares for you, but he's much more than a gardener. Maybe you just think that he's just like the bloke that appears when you need feeding. And he appeared and said, let us have some breakfast. I have no idea. All I know is that the Jesus that died for me and lives for me is the Lord of all lords. He's the King of all kings. And he holds nothing back for those who put their trust in him. And I mean nothing back. Not only that, but he doesn't try and do me up or do you up. He exchanges my life for his own. So in the Bible, it doesn't say I can be miserable one day and happy the next. It says, no, I'm going to take away your misery and all the reasons for it and give you joy instead. Amen. He's going to take away the things that whipped him and whipped me, and instead he's going to give me a crown. The Bible says that we're royal priesthood, a chosen generation of people belonging to God. And it goes on as well and says, instead of just being so desperate, I just don't know how this is going to work out. No, I'm the other side now. And there can be a spring in our step. Because instead of despair, there is tremendous joy and praise. How many of you want to live like that? Let's all stand up, shall we? Today's about victory. Because the Bible goes on to say statements like this: whoever puts their faith in Jesus will overcome the world. Three of us agreed with that. Some of us are thinking about it. The Bible says things like this: that whoever receives from Jesus has already overcome the world, because in 3 days Jesus did exactly that. He overcame everything that was to steal, kill and rob. And I kind of got this image yesterday morning. I was up a little bit early and I got this image of this. All right, Larry, sorry, it's you. Just come and join me a minute. Larry's a good guy. I love him. He's also a brother. He doesn't sound like me. He's actually a Cherokee Indian, but...
Looked like one too.
Yeah, he looks like one. But just imagine for a moment that Larry is death. He's not, but just imagine. I know it's hard because he's a good-looking fella. Death. Not death here, death. Sorry. Pardon? Speak up.
No, I thought
okay, not death. Never act with Americans or children or dogs.
You never do what you think.
Are you got it? They're on a totally different page now.
They
thanks.
Really are.
Okay. No, sorry, I'm just having to... So here's death. Death makes you doubt your future. It makes you think that the only alternative is the dark one. The only option is the one that never works. Death is the one that you think whispers over your shoulder, what if it doesn't work? That's what death is. I got this picture. When Jesus went down into the grave, he got hold of death and said, shut up! He got hold of death and killed it. But he didn't kill it by taking the life out of it. He overwhelmed death with his own life. He overwhelmed death with his own life. Alina, come out. Alina's a bit cuter than, well, only a little bit.
Not him.
Alina's from Bulgaria, but we still love her. She's got an uncle.
I do.
No, but it's in the Wombles. It's too slow. But Alina represents sickness. These are the things that try and whisper, no, you'll always get what your mum and dad had. You always get that this time of year. It's all right, it's age. That's excuse, that's not reason. And Jesus got all the sickness and said, I'm having you. You're not stealing anymore. You're not killing anymore. You're not robbing anymore. Boff! And he dealt with sickness. But he didn't deal with sickness by making sickness sick. He dealt with sickness because there was so much life in that tomb. Yeah, there was so much health within the life of Jesus that sickness could not hold him, the Bible says. Sickness didn't become sick. Sickness became too healthy for his own good. Death became too lively for his own good. Death, it said, could not hold him. Why? Because you can't hold Jesus down. I just want to tell you today, you might feel as if you're on the edge of disaster. You can't hold Jesus down. You might feel as if you're on the end of despair. You can't hold Jesus down. You might feel as if your medication is getting too much for you. You can't hold Jesus down. Because when Jesus went in the tomb, he didn't lay down, he went up.
Yeah.
Sickness, I'm having you. Infirmity, that's the end of that. Death, good night. Because there's too much life. And when we break bread right now, it's like that life hits us afresh. When we take the cup, the juice, it's only juice, right? So if your children, they know Jesus and you want them to receive it, that's fine. If not, just pray for them, right? But there's too much life in this room today for us to leave as we came in.
Yeah.
There's just too much life. So whatever it is that you just need to see your own miracle, his life is here to give you your miracle. Whatever it is that you just want to see a victory in, the one who gives you victory is here. Why? Because the Bible says he always leads us in a triumphal procession, not depression, procession. So, Father, I want to thank you that you took death and you conquered it because there's too much life in you. I want to thank you that you said that sickness and infirmity says, I'm having you. I'm shutting you down because there's too much life and health in me. I think that you took poverty and you broke it and said, I'm too rich for poverty to stand in my presence. I'm going to thank you that you took despair and you kicked it out and said, no, I'm too full of joy for despair to hang around. I thank you that you took captives. Captive in their mind, in their body, in their history, in their past. And you said, be free. I'm setting you free today. I'm breaking every chain. I'm breaking every hindrance that holds you back in your past. Today is a new chapter. Today is a day of victory. Yeah. Come on, let's give him some praise. Yeah. Thanks, guys. So we're going to celebrate victory today. You might call this day Sunday. I call it Victory Day. How do you know if you're in victory or not? Hear what comes out of your mouth. Hear what comes out of your mouth. Great testimony from Becca. Bridgend was known like that. Death City. Not anymore. Teenagers, if they got into their 20s, they were doing good. Not anymore. Why? Because Jesus is the victory of Bridgend. He's the victory of Worthing, Durrington, East Preston, Storrington, wherever it is that you come from. He's the victory of Horsham. Yeah. He is the victory because he's the victor. So let's just close our eyes. I was just going to pray. Father, I want to thank you so much that you have defeated everything that we could never defeat. And I thank you that you rose up again today in victory. And we thank you that we can step into that victory today by faith in you, by putting our trust in you. And I thank you that today, as we break the bread, we share in that one body, even though there's many of us, we share as sons if we know you. If you don't know Jesus today, that's absolutely brilliant, because today's a good day to get to know Jesus. Don't wait until the page called tomorrow. Grab hold of the page called today. Because Jesus says, if you put your trust in me, believe in what I have done for you, then I will come, and I will come and live in you, and I will change you beyond description. I will exchange your life for my life, your death for my life, your defeat for my victory, your despair for my breakthrough, your darkness for my light. Jesus doesn't come to do us up. He comes to do us in and change us. And Father, as we share the cup, I thank you that for me, and maybe for many of us, hopefully for all of us, it represents the liquid mercy of God that you gave us far beyond what we deserve. And you don't give us what we do deserve, which is separation from you. So I thank you that as we share the cup, there is power in the blood of Jesus. I thank you for healings in the next few minutes. People being made well in their bodies. I thank you for people being restored in their hearts. I thank you for people being redeemed in their sense of purpose and destiny. Because I thank you that you didn't just give your life for six people that we've already heard about, but you gave your life for all. And I thank you for that, and I praise you for that. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So just, that's the bread. The bread's up there somewhere. Just pass that round. Again, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you just don't know that if you were to walk out that door and that event shelter fell on you and killed you, it won't. But just imagine you drop down dead right now. You need to know that, yeah, I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Lord. That's what he wants us to live with every day, confidence. If you're not that confident, please come and talk to one of us that's been in front of you, and we'd love to introduce you to Jesus. He died for you. He rose for you. He lives for you. He wants to give his life for you today. Well, we're going to celebrate communion today. Is that all right?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.